Father, as we open now your word, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work in us. Bring glory to your awesome name. Speak to us your truth. Lord, we recognize your word is living and active and powerful and able to transform. So we ask for that transformation of our hearts, of our desires, of our attitudes. Lord, we want you to have free reign, free access into who we are, that you would mold us and shape us more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray through your Holy Spirit and through your written word proclaimed that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that you would change us. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we looked at the primary purpose of the church and of each of us as followers of Jesus. We exist, we saw in Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glory. We exist to the praise of His glory. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism begins, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Romans 15 tells us that we are to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Angelic beings in Isaiah 6 declare, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." The psalmist declares in Psalm 86, "I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Psalm 106, as we see also in Romans chapter 1, sinners are condemned because they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works, awesome deeds. They exchanged the glory of God. Philippians turns our attention forward to the future and says, one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Peter in 1 Peter 4 tells us to so use our gifts in dependence on God, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And then he says, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians tells us, chapter 6, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Jesus in Matthew 5 tells us to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We exist for the glory of God. We are meant, we are made to glorify God. The glory of God is to be our chief aim, our primary purpose. Now, if this is true, as I believe the overwhelming evidence of Scripture points to the fact that it is, we have some questions to ask. What is the glory of God? What does that mean? That sounds great. The angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest. Well, what do those words mean? What is glory? Define glory. That's a tricky thing to do. And how do I go about glorifying God? What is God's glory and how do I bring it about? First, what is the glory of God? If my primary purpose is to glorify God, then I have to understand what I'm aiming for. If we don't have a grasp of a biblical definition of God's glory, we won't have a clue as to how to live for the glory of God. And understand, this is a spiritual work that requires supernatural help. We're told in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in their case, the god of this world, small g, Satan, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So there is a spiritual blindness upon unbelievers to prevent them from seeing God's glory in the person of Christ. This blindness, we're told in verse 6, requires a sovereign act of God to overcome. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sovereign Lord, today we ask that our eyes may be opened to see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. I see in Scripture mainly two aspects to the glory of God. Light and weight. Light and weight. This passage here in 2 Corinthians 4 speaks of the light of the good news of the glory of Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Revelation 21, the book of Revelation tells us the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. God's glory is compared to light, to radiance, to brightness, shining, brilliance, display. God's glory is the shining forth of who He is, the brilliant display of His character and nature, the radiant brightness of His being. It is an outward appearance or a making known of His invisible being and personality. The glory of God is light, a manifestation of who He is. In the Old Testament, we see another aspect of God's glory. The Hebrew word for glory is kabod. It literally means heavy, a heaviness, a weightiness. Think back to Leviticus chapter 9. When the tabernacle was complete, when the priests had been set apart, when the people had been gathered, and Aaron, the first high priest, was to offer the first sacrifices to the Most High God in the holy tabernacle. At the end of chapter 9, Aaron had offered the sacrifices, and Leviticus 9:23 says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting." They go in to present the blood in the Holy of Holies. Come back out. It says, when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The awesome, the weighty, the substantial glory of God, the terrifying and fearful glory presence. And then we read in chapter 10 that in the midst of this awesome moment, two of Aaron's sons did something that God had not commanded. They offered strange fire before the Lord. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. Aaron, the great high priest, watches two of his sons destroyed, killed, burnt in the presence of the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. God is to be taken seriously. God is not to be trifled with. God is sanctified, holy, set apart, in a class by himself, utterly unique and unparalleled. The weightiness of God's character must be honored, must be revered. In the Exodus, backing up the story, Moses and Aaron went before the Pharaoh of Egypt declaring, "Thus says Yahweh, the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go." Chapter 5, Pharaoh says, "Who is Yahweh, the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh, the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." All the way back in Exodus 3, from the burning bush, God had told Moses, "I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand." And we see that unfold in the story of Exodus. And after God had wrecked Egypt, ruined Egypt, after Pharaoh had finally commanded the people of Israel to leave, but before they had crossed the Red Sea, God gave Moses instructions. He says, "Camp here, because," Exodus 14 verse 4, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them." and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh the Lord. God will be taken seriously. Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? I will get glory over Pharaoh. All shall know that I am Yahweh the Lord. God will be taken seriously. God will be seen as significant. He will be feared and respected, honored, seen as weighty. He will be glorified in all the earth. Glory is light and weight. God's glory is the brilliant display of the weightiness of his character. So if we are meant to glorify God, and glory is the brilliant display of the weightiness of his awesome being, how? How do we go about glorifying God? How do we promote and advance the glory of God in all the earth? How do we live lives that glorify him? We understand now what we are to be about, both as individuals and as the church. How do we go about it? How do we do this? And I'm going to give you this morning a simple, easy to remember way to glorify God in your life. Drink and do. It's that simple. Drink and do. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. The Westminster Shorter Catechism begins, "Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." In his book, Desiring God, John Piper points out that we glorify God by enjoying him forever. The wording of the catechism, "Man's chief end," not "man's chief ends," as if they are two separate, unrelated things. We should glorify God and we should enjoy him as well. This is one thing. The glorifying of God is the enjoying of God. Think of a pristine mountain spring, high in the Alps, untouched, perfect. Its water is clear and cool. It bubbles up of its own and it will never run dry. How do you glorify the spring? Do you take your 10-cent grocery store bottle of water you carried on the hike and pour out whatever is left of it into the spring? Trying to contribute? No. Do you glorify the spring by getting down on your knees beside the spring, putting your parched lips to the water, drinking deeply, getting up refreshed and saying, "Oh, that was so good." Do you glorify the spring by laying down in the grass beside the spring and listening to the melody of its babbling, enjoying everything about it? To glorify the spring is to enjoy the spring. Allow the spring to satisfy your thirst. Be invigorated by its cool water. Regain your strength in order to hike back down the mountain and tell others what a treasure you've discovered. To glorify God is to enjoy God, to drink deeply of God, to allow him to satisfy your deepest longings, to receive strength from him for the journey, to tell others, to put on display to others about the pleasure that you have received from God. Listen to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, look, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God, Yahweh, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praise to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Glorify God in thanksgiving. Glorify God because of Jesus, His anger is turned away from us. Glorify God by depending on Him, by trusting in Him, allowing Him to free you from all fear. Draw sustenance with joy from His limitless supply of salvation. Drink deeply. Glorify God by calling on His name for help in times of trouble. Make His name known. Sing His praises. Proclaim it to the ends of the earth. Shout, sing, publish abroad His all-satisfying greatness. Listen to the Psalms. Psalm 63. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 36, verse 8, they feast on the abundance of Your house, and You will give them drink from the rivers, from the river of Your delights. Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Drink deeply of God. There is a warning here. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. There's a warning here. If you are filled up with other things, you won't enjoy the life-giving water. When we sit down at home around the dinner table to a robust home-cooked meal. Anybody hungry? We sit down to that, And the kids are, don't want any. What's wrong? We begin to diagnose the situation. When did you last eat? What did you last eat? when they have been snacking all afternoon on chips and candy and soda, they are not going to be hungry for real food. We cram our lives full of activity and media and amusement and general busyness and stuff. And then we wonder why we don't have an appetite for spiritual things. We can stuff our souls so full of things that don't fulfill us that there is no room left for the only one who can satisfy. Listen to Jesus, Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. John 6, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Glorifying God means drinking deeply of God, going to Him with your thirst, with your longings, finding enough, more than enough, to satisfy in Him. Glorifying God means to drink deeply of Him with great joy. Now I said glorifying God means drinking and doing. Let me clarify what I mean by do and what I do not mean by do. Allow me to switch analogies. The vacuum cleaner salesman shows up at your door with the latest model of Kirby that he is out to convince you that it is the best vacuum ever made. And if you loved your family, you would buy one. Now, if you were able to say, wait, hold on, you came to my house first, let's go to your house. You had better find two things. One, you had better find a very clean carpet. Two, you had better find a Kirby in his closet. If you open the closet and find a Hoover, you call him a hypocrite. You're selling me something you don't even use? Are you kidding me? That's the first point. Don't try to sell a product you haven't tried or don't believe in. Drink deeply of God before you try to proclaim the good news to someone else. Drink first. But this is to clarify the second point. What I don't mean by do. If that vacuum cleaner salesman comes to your door with his Kirby, and he shows you how great it is, but then he begins to tell you some of the modifications he's made. You know, I actually shortened the hose, so it's got more suction, and, well, the motors tend to burn out, so I replaced it with a stronger, longer-lasting motor, and the things are heavy, so I took out my grinder, and I just ground off a bunch of the metal to make it lighter. What he did does not glorify the Kirby. It actually points out all the flaws in its design. He is not contributing. He is taking away. He is trying to fix. Or go back to the mountain spring. You do not glorify the spring by taking pilgrimages, carrying gallons of tap water on your back to dump into the spring, to contribute to the spring. That is not what I mean by do. We cannot contribute anything to God except our need, except an opportunity for Him to show Himself enough, to show Himself glorious, to show Himself strong. What I do mean by do is this. If you are not thirsty, you will not enjoy the refreshing water. You must come thirsty, come needy, come desperate. And the depth of your appreciation for the fountain will be directly proportionate to your awareness of your own need. And that comes by doing. Many of us need to do. Do something. Go on a hike. Get thirsty. Many of us need to do. Try to live a holy life, a godly life. Try to love your neighbor as yourself. Try to put the needs of others above your own. Try to convince others of their need for Christ. As you do, you will become acutely aware of your desperate need, your inability, and it will drive you back to the fountain, the only source of life-giving water, and you will drink more deeply. Let me connect this to prayer. Prayer is an expression of need, of dependence on God. If you are not aware of your need, you will not pray. Desperate people pray. Even those who say they do not believe in God will pray when they sense the sheer hopelessness of their situation. Many Christians seek to improve their prayer life. Instead, try raising children that want to love and follow Jesus. Seek to be content with what you have. Pursue unity with someone you disagree with. Attempt to proclaim God's word every week in a way that builds people up. Live a life of character, a life of integrity. Reach out and give biblical counsel to someone who is struggling. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Refrain from speaking poorly of others. Seek to be a blessing to a person in need. Be a good employee and don't grumble or complain. Have your neighbor over for dinner. Try walking on water. As you do, you will begin to perceive more acutely your desperate need for God. You can't do it on your own. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Begin to do, and it will drive you more deeply into dependence on the weighty sufficiency of God. It will drive you to drink deeply of the limitless resources in God. We can connect this to listening to sermons, to Bible reading. If there is a lecture offered on the relationship of diet to the growth of cancer cells, you may be curious and listen. You may have a general sense of the importance of healthy eating. You may not have anything better to do during that time. You may enjoy the delivery of the presenter, or you may be mildly annoyed with his accent, the way he pronounces some words, or you might think his visual aids are not very well done. You may lose interest and begin to think about what's for dinner and begin to wonder if it's going to cause cancer and begin to wonder if this is going to make you late for it. And would it be rude to get up and leave before he's done? But if your child has been diagnosed with cancer, you will be listening in a whole new way. You see, your desperation, your need, your awareness of your need will create in you an attentiveness that nothing else can. As we become aware of the devastating disease of our own spiritual need, our spiritual helplessness and hopelessness, our ears will be eager to hear from God. I just had a conversation with my mom and dad a couple weeks ago, and they're godly, godly people, love Jesus, have lived lives that glorify Jesus. They're in their 80s. And my mom made a comment that surprised me. She says, we've been reading through the Bible, and we're in Kings, and we're seeing how many of these kings followed God until later in life, and very late in life, walked away. I said, we need to be careful. We need to press into Jesus and find help to guard ourselves against late in life walking away. I thought that was profound. We need to be reminded throughout our lives of our desperate dependence on God and God alone. Drink and do. William Carey, a missionary to India, he's known as the father of modern missions, in 1792 preached a sermon in Nottingham, England, encouraging the believers to get involved in the spread of the gospel, in foreign missions, in reaching unreached people with the good news. And his points from the sermon were two. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. God is glorified when we expect Him to do great things. Because we see that He is great, and we expect Him to do great things because we believe He is able to do great things. God is glorified when we come to Him and as the all-satisfying source of everything and expect Him to be more than enough to slake our own thirst and to give us the strength to carry water down the mountain for others. God is glorified when we expect great things from Him and attempt great things for Him. Things that are beyond us. Things that require Him to show up in awesome and glorious ways so that it is evident to all that He alone deserves the praise for the great things He has done, for the mighty things He has done. Attempt great things for God. In the attempt, you will see more acutely your need. Develop in yourself a spiritual appetite by doing that will drive you to drink more deeply of God. Drink and do and drink some more. Allow your need, your thirst, your lack to demonstrate and display the weightiness of God, the rock solid substantialness of God. Let God be glorified as you drink deeply from Him and attempt great things, things beyond you for Him, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Father, that is our desire. That is our heart. We want You to be glorified in all the earth. We want You to be glorified in us, the church, Your body. We want You to be glorified in us, followers of Jesus, believers in You, those that have cried out to You out of desperation, and You have saved us, You have rescued us, You have transformed us, You have made us new, You have set us as lights on a hill to display how great You are. Your glory. The praise of Your glorious grace. Thank You for the work You've done in us, and may we live lives that proclaim Your great glory. May we live lives that draw attention to You. May we let our light shine so that people see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. May You show Yourself mighty and strong in the midst of our inability, ineptness, weakness, hopelessness, helplessness. May You show up in mighty ways and bring glory to Yourself and to Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. May that be our prayer as believers in Jesus, as the church, that, Lord, all I am is Yours, belongs to You. You bought me, so bring glory to Your great name through my life, whatever way You see best, whether it is through trials and difficulties, whether it is through the abundance of Your blessing, whatever that looks like, Lord, I want to be used by You to bring glory and honor to Your great name, for You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. I want to give myself to You. If there's anyone here that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, doesn't know their sins forgiven, you can't bring glory to God without belonging to God, without being purchased by God. So come to Him as you are with your sin and say, all I am is Yours. And He will take your sin away and pour out on you His righteousness and His Holy Spirit, and He will transform your heart make you a new creation that brings glory and honor and praise to His great name. Begin to be who you were created to be. It's a beautiful thing, and we're excited to be a part of that. If that's where you're at, please talk to me. Please talk to somebody around you. Ask them to pray for you, pray with you, encourage you, open the Word with you, and point you to Jesus. We want you to know Him. We want you to love Him. We want you to serve Him. God bless you.